You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, Matt, so there's a bar just up the road from our house. It's like a 5-minute walk from my house to the bar, but it's a 45-minute walk from the bar to my house. The difference is staggering.
I like it.
Good, good.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
Man, I'm doing great if I don't get blown away.
I know, man. I know. We're going to try to get through this before the NATOs hit you, because you're getting the one that blew through us last night. And like I was telling you before, there was some straight line winds that I don't even know. They blew stuff off our patio out into the yard as it whipped around. As we were laying there in bed, I thought there was going to be like an overpressure problem with the windows and then blow out, because it would hit and the windows would go bup, 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 bup. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. That would be terrible.
It would be. So hopefully none of that hits, at least until we're done recording. But we want to say real quick, go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. You can find different shows to listen to. We're proud to be associated with these different shows and with the Podbelly Network. So check them out, podbelly.com. We also want to thank tonight's sponsors, Care of, Every Plate, and Raycon. And we will talk a little bit more about our sponsors throughout the episode. While you're on the internet and you're looking up pictures of me and Matt, or, you know, searching for the Graveyard Tales bathing suit calendar, or whatever you're doing on the internet, go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales. You can sign up to become a patron. We've got three different levels, 1, 5, and 10. And our $10 patrons, every week, they get the video version of us recording the episode. And this episode, in fact, is going to have a lot in the beginning of the episode that didn't get put into the audio version, because it was Matt and I just sitting and BSing before we started. So you'll get to see all that, minus the pee break that I took. But we'll put all that in there.
Actually see the pee break.
Yeah, right. I take the camera with me. So no, I don't. That would be gross. But we give a lot of behind the scenes with those videos, and we don't cut as much out. So you get to see some of the mess ups that we have, and the weird faces we make at each other during the recording and stuff like that. So if you're interested in that, go check out patreon.com. I'm not going to tell you what he just did to me, but you can just see it when you look at the video. go check out patreon.com/graveyardtales and become a patron. We couldn't keep doing this show without our patrons.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, Matt, so let's take a second and talk about one of tonight's sponsors, Care Of. You probably, if you've listened to us before, you've heard us talk about Care Of. We're big fans of Care Of. We're big fans of the fact that you can get your multivitamin fix sent to your house. It's cool because you just take the little test and then you get them sent to your house. But with Care Of's compostable daily packs and sustainably sourced ingredient efforts, they're aiming to help you take care of not only your wellness, but also the environment. Care Of helps you keep an eco-friendly mindset throughout your health and wellness journey while also making taking your vitamins easy and convenient. Care Of's personalized packs are made from plant-based compostable film that includes wood pulp and a fermented blend of corn, cassava root, and sugarcane, so you can feel good about the impact your vitamins are having, not only on your health, but also the planet, which is cool because if you're thinking about it, oh, I'm using a little pack every day that's got to be adding to the trash. Well, it doesn't because it's compostable. And
that's right.
The personalized packs, like they mentioned, it's got your name on it. Mine says Adam, of course. It doesn't say like Jim Bob or anything. It says Adam on there.
Well, thank you. You're not taking Jim Bob's vitamin.
Right? Who knows what I would end up with. But then it has an inspirational quote or something, which I think is pretty cool on there. Every morning when you're taking your vitamins, you can read the pack and then feel good about pitching it in the compost.
Yeah. And, you know, the two most irritating things about taking vitamins and supplements is, number one, figuring out what you need to take.
Oh, yeah.
And number two, dealing with a cabinet full of different bottles.
Oh, yeah.
And you forget one, you leave one out, you feel like you're just covered up in all these digging through, where's my whatever?
Yeah.
Care Of makes all of that go away. The online quiz that you take, it asks you questions that you may not even have thought about your health, but you're like, do I care about my heart health? What? Yeah. You know, I'm looking at myself. You know, I'm 48 years old. You know, I want to start thinking about those kind of things. And so Care Of tells me what supplements would be most beneficial for me. And then it comes to the house. I don't have to go to the store. I don't have to go to multiple stores to find different supplements. They all come and they're all prepackaged. And I don't have to worry about all those bottles. I just tear open a new pack every day, take my vitamins and supplements, and I'm out the door.
Exactly.
I mean, it cannot be any easier. And that's what makes Care Of so great.
I agree with you. I hate the bottles, and Ashley hates me having multiple bottles sitting on the countertop, because before Care Of, that's what I did. I had like 8 or 10 different bottles sitting there, and it took up all the space on our bathroom cabinet, and she'd get so angry. Now with the Care Of, she loves it because it's just one little box.
Yeah. So for Graveyard Tales listeners, you can get 50% off your first Care Of order of $40 or more. All you have to do is go to takecareof.com and enter our code GRAVE50. That's GRAVE50.
That's right. For 50% off your first Care Of order of $40 or more, go to takecareof.com, TakeCareof.com, and enter our code GRAVE50, GRAVE50. So Matt, why don't you tell us what's happening this episode? And you may not fully know.
I don't know. I don't know at all. I have no idea. This is a total surprise. No, I know a little. So just like last week, we've done this before where one of us, in essence, will give the other one a week off, where we'll do all the research ourselves and cover the entire topic, almost like we're going to we're going to make, you know, last week I made Adam one of the listeners. You know, I taught him about the Terrace Inn. Tonight, and I've been practicing today, man. I'm going to mess it up. Okay. But tonight, Adam is going to discuss the Mokele Mbembe. Hey, what do you know?
Very, very, very close.
I mean, it's close. I thought I nailed it.
Well,
he says, "Oh, it's close."
You got everything, but there's a little bit of extra on the front of the bembe.
Oh, a little extra in there.
Yeah, exactly.
but if you listen to our episode about lesser known cryptids, you noticed that there were several in Africa.
Yep,
and there's a reason for that, that if something was going to go undiscovered, that this is where it would be.
100%.
Because there are areas of Africa that are extraordinarily difficult to explore. They're not heavily populated. You know, there's heavy brush. There's dangerous animals. So it's not somewhere where you just like, I can just take a hike through this place.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Not that simple. Even for scientists and researchers, they have a lot of difficulty. And with those added problems comes added cost as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have to prepare for so much, all of that eats into whatever research budget you have, and you may not be able to do as much as you would wish. And I say all that to say, this is why a lot of these cryptids that are in Africa could potentially be undiscovered species.
Right. Right.
So we're going to talk about another one that is extraordinarily popular. I believe we touched on it a little bit in the lesser known cryptids, yep, but we did not discuss it. So,
yep, we mentioned it for sure.
So, Adam, the floor is yours.
All right. So, yeah, like Matt said, we touched on this briefly in the lesser known cryptids. And I'm sure if you're into cryptozoology at all, you have heard the name Mokele Mbembe. And it's one of those cryptids that gets brought up a lot when comparing it to something else, but it's right, not one that many people dive into. And me being the cryptozoology weirdo that I am, I'd like to dive into those. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And like we always say, go check our sources down in the bottom of the show notes. Now, most of the info I've got in my notes came from the books that I have in my bookshelf, but there is a lot of good information on the internet down in the links that are in the sources and even further beyond that. You can even go to Wikipedia, scroll down to the bottom of the little information insert in Wikipedia and get their sources, their linked sources. And go there. Ignore what Wikipedia says, but go follow their sources, and you may find some good information there. But let's go ahead and get into it. Now, the Mokele Mbembe, which means the one who stops the flow of rivers in the Lingala language, is a dinosaur-like cryptid that lives in the Congo. So we touched on it when we mentioned the dinosaur-like cryptid and the Groot slang in the lesser known cryptids, because it kind of inhabits similar areas. Now, it's said to look kind of like a sauropod or a long neck dinosaur, such as the Apatosaurus or the Diplodocus or Brontosaurus, which now is not called Brontosaurus. It's Brachiosaurus or so.
Right.
Dang dinosaur names always switching from what we had as kids. But if I bring it up, I will probably say Brontosaurus because I'm old and it's hard to change things. So just know, I mean, the newer whatever term that they call it now. Now, it's said to be at least the size of an elephant and larger, and it can get up to 35 feet long, which is huge for a land-dwelling animal nowadays.
Right.
You know, that was common during some of the older epochs, but not nowadays.
Well, I was going to say, you know, just look at, you know, the animals that we have now that are roughly considered to be descendants of dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And the size, like alligators and, you know, even when you think about things like tigers versus saber-toothed tigers or elephants versus woolly mammoths,
mm-hmm.
you know, those prehistoric creatures were much larger based on the fossils and remains that we've been able to uncover than their counterparts of the modern day.
Right.
So things just gradually got smaller.
Yeah. And I think there was a couple environmental factors to that is, you know, from what scientists and researchers say, back then there was more available food source for these animals, so they could get larger. Plus, there was higher oxygen levels on Earth than we have now. So that's why things like bugs, you know, you could have the 4 foot long dragonflies in fossil record. And that's because the oxygen levels were higher, so things were able to get larger. But also the food source, it was everywhere was a tropical climate. So the foliage grew like crazy, which meant the things like the Mokelea Mimbe type creatures could get huge off eating the plants. And then to eat them, you had to be even bigger. So,
yeah, they didn't have to compete.
Right. Right.
You know, there wasn't deforestation at the time. You know, they weren't driven out of their habitat by, you know, skyscrapers and roads and all that other stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, they just had whatever nature could provide. They had it.
Yep. Yep. Now, the Mokelea Mimbe is said to be at the shoulders about 5 to 7 feet high. So that's a tall creature. Again, huge creature, up to 35 feet long and 5 to 7 foot high at the shoulders. That's not including the long neck that it has, which we'll talk about. But it has a smooth reddish brown or brownish gray skin. So it can blend in with its surroundings there a little bit. But the males are said to have a single long horn or tusk. Obviously, we don't have a fossil or specimen of it, so we can't tell if it is a horn or a tusk. But it's been witnessed to have one or the other, whatever it is. Now, its head is said to look kind of serpentine in shape, and it has a really long, flexible neck, like the Apatosaurus would. But the neck is said to be between 6 and 12 feet long, and it's as thick as a man's thigh. That's a big neck.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, its neck is as long as I am tall. I'm 6'2", so it's a long neck. Now, the feet, they say, are very similar to an elephant's foot. So when you see the prints, which we'll talk about shortly, they're very similar to an elephant's, but there are distinct differences. So they know this is not an elephant or this is not a hippo. This is the Mokelea. Now, it has a long muscular tail to match the long muscular neck, just like Brontosaurus would.
Mm-hmm.
So picture like a Brontosaurus, or just Google search the Mokelea Mimbe and you'll see representations of what people think they look like.
Right. And it's pretty varied, but
yeah.
There is still that Brontosaur or Brachiosaur shape to just all the pictures I've seen.
Right. Yep.
You know, the head may be a little different. The tail may be a little different, but that's still what you see.
Mm-hmm. Now, the locals say the creatures are amphibious and that they live in caves on or near the banks of the river. Now, some are said to also live in the forest near these rivers. They're also known to dig out caves to lay in the riverbanks. So they're, and this could have been the situation for prehistoric dinosaurs like Brontosaurus as well. They spend a lot of their time in the river, but they also will come out of the river to travel from one waterway to another. Mm. And kind of the lifestyle of a hippo. Think about it that way. I mean, if you've got that much weight, it is easier to support in water. So it makes sense why they would be in the rivers and stuff. But they also, they dig out holes in the riverbank. So if you're at a river and you see a big cave dug out in the side, a lot of people will say that the Mokele did that, dug that out to be able to lay in.
Yeah.
Now, when the creature moves, they say it either moves alone or at most in pairs, and the pairs are thought to be male-female mating pairs. So you don't see herds of these things wandering across the savannah.
Yeah, or two dudes.
Right,
you
right.
Know, they're sitting over, you know, knocking back a few cold ones.
Right, right. And checking out the lady Mokele at the other lake.
You know how you can always tell a female Mokele in the river, right?
How's that?
Well, they have to wear that little bikini top, you know, right there.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it's no wonder that they say the male Mokeles are all horned up or tusked up something. Now,
Google all this. You'll see that what we're saying is exactly right.
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%. Mokele bikinis and all that stuff. Now, they are known to make a loud, deep-throated, trumpeting-type growl that can be heard for miles. Now, apparently, they don't make a lot of noise. Like, it's not a constant grunting. Like, if you're around a hippo herd or a herd of elephants, they're always making noise and communicating with each other. The Mokele doesn't do it often, but when it does, you can hear that noise for miles. And I've got a little story later that will touch on that. Now, the Mokele Omembe is an herbivore. Locals say that it prefers to eat the apple-like fruit from the lianas that has white blossoms, and it's known locally as the Malombo. Now, it's said that they will aggressively defend their territory.
Yeah.
So, not that they're going out looking to necessarily kill you, but if you're in their territory, they will aggressively defend their territory. Now, it's also said that the Mokele will kill hippos, elephants, and crocodiles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know anything about hippos, hippos in Africa kill more people than lions do.
Right.
So, yeah. These things are big and they will kill people, and the Mokele is said to be able to kill them. So, you know, that's a big, tough animal.
Yeah. So like when that story came out about Pablo Escobar's compound, you know, he brought in those hippos to kind of help defend the compound. People are like, hippos. Well, now there's like 80.
Oh, really? There.
And that was when I first heard this story, which was probably a year or two ago.
Hmm.
And they don't know what to do because they're not native to South America, and the ecosystem doesn't support them. And now you've got an entire herd of hippos, and they're just destroying everything, you know, anything they can get. And you can't just wander in there and go, come along, little hippos. No.
Right. Right. I mean, you're not going to be able to just shoot a net and capture them.
Yeah, they're aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And And, you know, of course, they're not going to, the Colombian government's not going to go, eh, well, we just went in there and blasted them all away.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
You know, but imagine trying to transport 80 hippos or more to where they would be native, which is all the way across the ocean.
Right, right. Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that. That's insane. Have you seen the things of people in the little helicopters that net the goats for mm-hmm. research? They'll shoot a net out of like a net shotgun and catch these goats. I can just picture somebody trying to do that with these hippos. With a hippo? Yeah, you'd have to get the army helos out there to be able to lift the thing.
It'd look like the gun that would shoot the net would look like a bazooka.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have 5 to 6 inch thick rope just to lift it up. Now, it has also been reported that the Mokele does not like the hippopotamuses in the area and will kill them on sight, but it doesn't eat them. So it's an herbivore. It's not going to eat them, but I guess it competes for territory and food is what I'm assuming.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's a competitor for the food.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and territory too, I'd imagine.
Yep.
Cause they, you know, they both, you know, live around rivers.
Yep.
So, you know, they're gonna interact.
Yep.
But, you know, we talked about how dangerous these hippos are, and here's an animal that attacks and kills hippos.
Yep. On sight. No questions asked. It's a hippo mercenary or something. Now hippopotamuses, because of that, cannot be found where the Mokele Mbembe lives. So, if you have hippos in a waterway, pretty much guaranteed that there's not going to be any Mokele sightings there. But if you go somewhere and there's no hippos, most likely you're going to have Mokele Mbembe sightings. So, keep that in mind when we touch on this next part and some of the stories that I've got, because it said that the Mokele overturns canoes and kills the occupants by lashing its tail.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that hippos will kill humans that way. They overturn canoes and attack, drown the people, or bite them and crush them. So if there's no hippos in a waterway, but somebody's canoe gets overturned and they die, what could do that? Well, it's said that that's the Mokele. Since there are no hippos, it has to be something else. But also, they say that its skin is poisonous. And have a story touching on that as well to kind of prove that point. Now, the tracks are said to be hippopotamus-like, like I was saying, but they're larger, closer to an elephant size, but they look kind of like a hippo's. They're about 12 inches in diameter is what they say. Now, the difference here between an elephant and a Mokele is that they have 3 clawed toes. So when you look at the prints, if it looks like a big elephant's footprint, but you mm-hmm. see the claws in the front of this footprint,
yeah.
Well, elephants don't have claws. They have little toenails. So if it's a clawed elephant footprint, you know it's not an elephant, and it's said to be a Mokele. Now, they also make a furrow in their tracks with their tail. So it looks like something like a large snake or a wagon wheel would make. So if you see the tracks, you know how when an alligator walks and you can see its footprints, but then there's also the tail drag from them mm-hmm. dragging their tail. That's what they say these tracks look like. So if you ever see elephant-like tracks with a furrow running between their tracks, that's most likely going to be a Mokele, that you just caught the tracks of a Mokele Mbembe.
So leave.
Exactly. Get the heck out of there. Don't stick around. Now, apparently, it is distributed in the Bai River, the Liquala Aux Herbes River, the Liquala Swamp, Lake Makele, the Senga River, and many others in the Republic of the Congo and in Kalimba River and others in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So it's not isolated to one of those. It's either they either travel back and forth or they just have different populations in different areas. So let's get into some sightings and stuff like that. Now, there's a West African carving of a strange animal that's currently housed at the Glencalmorage House in County Tipperary in Ireland. And Matt, if you look up pictures, you will probably run across this statue. It's believed by some cryptozoologists to represent the Mokele Umembe. It depicts a scaly animal with a long neck and a small head, cloven feet, a long tail, and a finned structure right below its tail. So going like from the base of the tail almost down to the booty hole is a fin on this thing at the base of its tail. Now, it is alongside a smaller animal with similar features, but no neck. So the large one has the long neck like the Mokele. The smaller one is kind of standing up with its back paws on the back end of the Mokele. But this creature doesn't have a long neck. It's just a normal neck and head. Now, the relationship with the smaller animal, they say, is unclear. They don't know whether it's like a baby Mokele. A baby Mokele. Like,
wait a minute, what?
I turned into the guy.
It's a Mokele baby.
Yeah, exactly. Turned into the guy from the Austin Powers movie, a baby. So a baby Mokele or a different creature, they really have no way of telling what it is because it's an older carving. Now, it has been suggested that the carving may be a more modern creation, but it has apparently been at the Glencalmorage House since at least the 1950s, so decades before Western interest in the Mokele Umembe. So it's like a lot of other statues and cave drawings and stuff like that we have. It's hard to tell. Hard to carbon date a statue. So you have to look off of the artwork known around that time. They don't know exactly when this thing was carved, but it's been there for at least 70 years. Now, like I said about the sources, most of these sightings and encounters come from the books that I've mentioned in the sources. Now, none of these sightings are super long, and many aren't super detailed like we get with a lot of other cryptid or paranormal sightings, but there's a bunch of them, and I'm not going to cover all of them, but we are going to get into quite a few. Now, the first known reference in print by, quote, Westerners was published by a French missionary to West Central Africa. His name was Abbé Levain Bonaventure Proyart in 1776.
Take a bite out of that one.
Yeah, I did my best. So we're not saying his full name ever again. Now, Proyart talked about his discovery of clawed footprints that were 3 feet wide and the set of tracks. So it was a set of tracks, not just one print. He saw an actual row of these tracks and they were 3 feet from 1 foot across to the other foot. And then it had a 7 foot stride that was left by a creature, quote, which was not seen, but must have been monstrous. So 7 foot stride and 3 feet wide, which is quite a big animal to have a 7 foot stride. Carl Hagenbeck, a famed animal collector, was apparently the next to talk about the creature in a printed work in 1909. In his memoirs, he relayed conversations which he had had with big game hunters from the region who described a, quote, huge monster, half elephant, half dragon, inhabiting the Congo jungle.
Yeah, I've read about this particular account. Because it comes up when you look at dragon research. This story will come up too.
Yep.
All right, Adam. Hey, let's take a minute and talk about one of our long-term sponsors, EveryPlate. Now, if you've listened to the show, you've heard Adam and I talk about EveryPlate and HelloFresh. Well, HelloFresh owns EveryPlate.
Right.
And EveryPlate is another meal delivery service, but it is America's best value meal kit. Now, while most meal kits come with a premium price tag, EveryPlate offers delicious dinners that won't break the bank. So if you've been considering, trying one of these meal delivery kit services, EveryPlate is a fantastic place to start.
Yes, it is.
You can really find some fantastic food and join in with your family in prepping a meal that you're going to love. It's going to be delicious. And you're not going to have just spent tons and tons of money on it.
Yep. That's the thing that sets EveryPlate apart from a lot of other meal services.
Yeah. So you can let EveryPlate plan, shop, and deliver everything you need to cook a delicious meal at a consistently low price. You get to choose from 17 delicious weekly recipes and then just sit back. They'll deliver pre-portioned ingredients and easy-to-follow recipe cards right to your front door. And when we got home the other day, the kids saw our EveryPlate box sitting right there on the porch, and they were like, woohoo, EveryPlate!
Oh, I know. I got home with Michael one day after school, and ours was sitting there on the porch, and he's like, is that what I think it is? I'm like, yes, it is. He goes, awesome! Because he knows he gets to help cook dinner when we get those.
Yeah, and it is such a great value. So think of it this way. One meal from EveryPlate is about the same price as one cup of coffee. And it's probably cheaper than the pumpkin spice latte or whatever fancy coffee drink you buy when you go to the coffee shop.
Yep, for sure. And we got a creamy smothered pork chops with crispy home fries and roasted carrots meal. Dude, that was I love pork chops anyway, but then when you add creamy and smothered onto the name of pork chops, I'm down. And I've learned through EveryPlate subscriptions that I like roasted carrots. I used to think I didn't like carrots because I was like, because I'd only had the raw carrots or I'd had that weird mushed carrot thing that my family makes. The cool thing about EveryPlate, it turned me onto something new. I like the cut up roasted carrots, and that this meal has smothered pork chop. You get the roasted carrots, crispy little home fry thing. Oh, my God, dude, it was great. And Michael loved helping us cook it because, he can't do everything. But we're trying to teach him some blade work and mixing the ingredients. And with everything pre-portioned, it's amazingly easy for him to get in there and help us.
Right. And my youngest, she's not a big meat eater, but she loves pork chops.
Yeah.
I mean, she loves pork chops. And this meal, out of this world for her.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to get on board with EveryPlate, and like Matt and I just love it and love the low cost of this delivery, you can try EveryPlate for just $1.79 per meal. All you got to do is go to everyplate.com and enter our code GRAVEYARD179. That's GRAVEYARD 179.
That's right, Adam. Get started with EveryPlate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering our code GRAVEYARD179, GRAVEYARD 179.
Now, one of his informants referred to, quote, some kind of dinosaur seemingly akin to Brontosaurus, end quote. So he's getting his information from big game hunters, which, as you and I have talked before, Matt, hunters in an area are going to know the creatures in the area that they hunt. They're going to know how to track an animal. They're going to know what evidence these animals leave behind. And if these big game hunters are saying they see something they've not seen before, a half elephant, half dragon, or some kind of dinosaur, then I'm going to take them pretty seriously, because they're out there all the time doing the hunting and out in the wilderness. Now, in 1913, Captain Freiherr von Stein zu Lauschnitz was dispatched to survey Cameroon. Now, emerging from the jungle with native reports of the river-dwelling Mokele Umembe, von Stein said, quote, "The animal is said to be of a brownish-gray color with a smooth skin, its size approximately that of an elephant, at least that of a hippopotamus. It is said to have a long and very flexible neck. A few spoke about a long muscular tail like that of an alligator. Canoes coming near it are said to be doomed. The animal is said to attack vessels and to kill the crews, but without eating their bodies," end quote.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been described akin to, you know, the stories of sea monsters, you know, of the sea serpent,
right?
Because of the either the long neck or the long tail.
Yep, exactly. And the fact that it spends so much time in the water being amphibious, or at least accustomed to the water. Now, 6 years later, after that, on December 23rd, 1919, Captain Leicester Stevens told British reporters that he was setting out for Africa to hunt the brontosaur at a location that remained, quote, "one of my secrets." Problem is, nothing came of this exploration despite how much he promoted it.
Right.
So he went out looking for it. Yeah. Not telling you where I'm going, but I'm going over here to look for it. And oops, I found nothing.
Yeah. How convenient.
Right. But even though that exploration failed, reports kept coming in about a prehistoric creature in and around the Congo. So that didn't have any effect on the sightings that people were having. Now, we've talked about at least one of these people before, maybe both of them, I can't remember. But in 1932, Ivan Sanderson, I know we've talked about him, and Gerald Russell were canoeing on the Manyu River in Cameroon, which when they had an experience that scared them. This is a cool one, Matt. Quote, "When we were about in the middle of the mile and a half long winding gorge, the most terrible noise I have ever heard, short of an oncoming earthquake or explosion of an aerial torpedo at close range, suddenly burst from one of the big caves to my right. Gerald tried to about face in the strong swirling current, putting himself broadside to the current. I started to paddle like mad, but was swept close to the entrance of the cave from which the noise had come. Thus, Gerald and I were opposite its mouth. Just then came another gargantuan gurgling roar, and something enormous rose out of the water, turned it to a sherry-colored foam, and then, again roaring, plunged below. This, quote, thing was shiny black and was the head of something, shaped like a seal, but flattened from above and below. It was about the size of a full-grown hippopotamus. The head, I mean," end quote.
Golly.
So just, I mean, the head.
Just the head. You know, we're not, we start talking about this hippo size head on a neck. I mean, that's, you know, that's really, really big.
That's insane. And again, you know, it fits the, what the locals say about where it lives. It's in a cave on a river. They heard the noise, and then apparently it just lifted its head up on the neck and splashed back down. And the head was that. That's the only one I found about the head being that big.
Yeah.
But it's Ivan Sanderson. So, I mean, not that everything he says is spot on perfect, but it's his job, was his job to be out there looking for this stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, he was well respected. And I mean, maybe that may cause people to believe, well, he's going to come up with some stories to make sure that he continues to, you know, be a notable figure. But as a rule, you know, what his research is, you know, considered to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So for this to be an account from him, I mean, it's got a lot of weight behind it.
Right.
There's no way to know if this was indeed the Mokele Mbembe, but it was something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Chances are he saw something and
yep.
it just kind of fits the locals' description of this creature. So you start putting two to two together. You're like, that's probably what it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the right location. And I mean, there's not much else that could have a head that big.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 3 years after that incident, witness Furman Mosomele saw a Mokele Mbembe with a neck 6 to 8 feet long, idling in the Likuala Oxherbes River near Ipana, Republic of Congo. So 3 years after that, this guy just saw something super long neck kind of floating in that river and the neck sticking up out of it. So think of Nessie type sightings where it had the big neck coming up out of the river. Now in 1938, German explorer Leo von Boxberger, I bet you he was the founder of White Castle Burgers. Boxberger. Sorry. That's all I could think of when I saw his name. I was like, burger in a box, must be White Castle.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, sorry. Leo von Boxberger collected more native tales of the Mokele, but his notes were lost in an attack by a hostile tribe. So I included that, not that we're going to get anything out of it, except that there were a ton of tales that we could probably have now, but apparently he and his party got attacked by a hostile tribe there and they stole his notes and burned them, something like that. So
yeah,
there's not a lack of stories coming out. There's just a lack of what we have access to because of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a group of pygmies, which that's how they're referred to in the book and in that part of the country. So I'll refer to them a few times as that because that's what they're called. They're called pygmies. They allegedly trapped and killed a Mokele Mbembe at Loktele, Republic of Congo, in the late 1950s. Now, after they killed this thing, they wanted to celebrate. So to celebrate, they ate it. They devoured its flesh. But everyone partaking of the meal reportedly died. So remember when I mentioned that its flesh was said to be poisonous?
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons that they say that. Everybody in that group that did not eat the flesh lived. But everybody who did died. So it poisonous or it's something paranormal. But I would go more with probably poisonous. Yeah. You know, there's some animals that we know you can't eat because they'll kill you. Like, look at fugu. If you eat too much of that, you're going to die.
Yeah. But like, well, poison dart frogs,
mm-hmm.
you know, poison dart frogs are not, they don't shoot darts. They're called that because, tribesmen will use their toxin in blowgun darts.
Yep.
But their skin is toxic because of the the fungus and other plants that they feed on, and other, you know, venomous insects and things like that. That's how their toxin is created. So when you go into your pet, your exotic pet store, and you see poison dart frogs, they've just been denied those toxins.
Right.
So they're not poisonous. They're just pretty. Yeah. But it makes me wonder if this creature is real, where would its toxin come from? You know, would it be something that it produced naturally, like a venomous snake, or would it be something that it, basically secreted because of its diet? What would it eat around there that would cause it to be poisonous? I'm not sure, I'm sure there's plenty of poisonous plant life.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
around the Congo River Basin.
And it could be that. It could be a mixture of a couple of the plants that it eats creates, when it mixes, it creates this. But like you said, it could also be just it has poisonous glands that secrete this. Like they're, I think it's the cane toad. People in Australia will be able to tell me if I'm wrong, because that's where it is. But cane toad secretes that out of glands in the back of its neck. It's like a white sticky poison. And when it gets scared, it'll shoot out this poison so that anything that eats it will die.
Yeah.
Right. So it could be similar with the Mokele. Now, with it being as large as it is, I don't know why it would need to do that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Nope.
It wouldn't be, it wouldn't necessarily be a defense. I mean, there's, at its size, I mean, there's not going to be another predator that's going to come after it.
Right. Except for that
one. Except for humans.
Yeah. That one tribe that killed it, and it may be nature's way of saying, yeah, you got me, but I'm going to get you in the end.
Uh-huh.
You know, Mother Nature is a cruel beast, and she she may have had the last laugh on that one. Now, a decade later, Congolese hunter Nicholas Mondongo saw a 30-foot specimen about the Lekwala River between Bandeko and Mokonegwi. So we got a 30-footer now that's been seen. That's one of the biggest that has been reported that I have seen. Now, there have been quite a few cryptozoologists who have tracked the Mokele Omembe through the Congo Basin over the decades. Let's run through a few. Now, James Powell, Roy Mackle, Marcellini Agnagna, J. Richard Greenwell, and Herman Register and his wife all made trips to search for the creatures between 1979 and 1983. So quite a few. This was kind of in the height of the Mokele craze, where a bunch of cryptozoologists were looking for it. Now, Herman Register and his wife claimed to have a sighting at Lake Tele in October of 1981. But even though they had a camera and tape recorder, they couldn't produce any concrete evidence. Now, their audio that they got, that didn't match any known Congolese creature. So that's why I was saying this is that one that I mentioned earlier about the trumpeting call that it has.
Mm-hmm.
They actually recorded the sound of it, and it does not match any creature that's known in the Congo. So that's interesting. It's not concrete by any means, but it's interesting.
Sure.
It's kind of like Bigfoot calls.
Right.
A lot of these Bigfoot calls, they say, don't match anything known in North America. Well, apparently this doesn't match anything known in the Congo. But the video that they took of it was overexposed and pretty much worthless. So, you know, this is back, did not have digital video recorders then. So they overexposed the film. Now, several other cryptozoologists after them also had similar luck and their film and videos didn't show anything concrete due to overexposure or blurriness. Now, Roy Mackle said he never saw the creature himself, but he says he did have one close call. One day while paddling down the Lekoala River in a dugout canoe, his group heard a loud plop sound and a large wake splashed up on the far bank. Now, the pygmy guides cried out, "Mokele Omembe, Mokele Omembe." And Mackle and his colleagues believed that only a large animal could have caused the huge wake. Since hippos aren't in the Lekoala area, they believe they just missed seeing the Mokele Omembe.
Yeah. I've looked, when you look at where hippo populations are throughout Africa, there is just a huge empty spot.
Yep.
In the Congo where there are no hippos.
Yep.
They're not there. So,
and why? Again,
that's like Adam said, if there's no hippos, there's Mokele Mbembe sightings.
Uh-huh.
And so even then, Mackle knowing, you know, there's no hippos around here. And there's nothing else that big that would have made this kind of splash in the water.
Yeah.
By default, it must be.
Right. Right. And people always say, go to Occam's razor as an explanation. Okay. Well, not a hippo, not an elephant, because an elephant doesn't really submerge. It doesn't hold its breath for long and submerge like that.
Right.
Like a hippo does. So the only other explanation would be the Mokele Omembe sightings.
Yeah.
Or a creature that is being mistaken for the Mokele that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And elephants don't really hide either. You know,
No. You
don't typically get a one-off, you know, that's just roaming around. You know, the whole rogue elephant is not that, you know, it's not just one that's just like, you know what? Forget y'all. I'm going off on my own. And he's just marching around the river, you know, hanging out, being cool and you know, being the lone wolf. It's just doesn't work and that way.
Stalking, you know, predators and stuff.
You know. I mean, you're like, well, it was probably an elephant because there's seven others right over there.
Yeah. Yep. Now, this comes from the Lauren Coleman book, Cryptozoology A to Z. Says in, despite all that, in 1992, members of a Japanese film crew got some of the best photographic evidence of the Mokele Omembe. They were flying over Lake Tele in a small aircraft, taking some aerial footage. They're wanting to get some panoramic landscape footage for a documentary that they were filming. And they noticed a large shape moving across the surface of the lake, which was leaving behind a V-shaped wake. Now, the cameraman zoomed in and got about 15 seconds of the object in motion before it dived under the surface again. The footage, even though it's jumpy and indistinct, shows a vertical protuberance at the front of the object, possibly a long neck, and a second shorter projection could be a humped back or tail. If it's not the Mokele Omembe, then it's hard to say what the animal is, since a crocodile wouldn't have the two protrusions above the water, and an elephant wouldn't submerge in the way that the object does. So,
Yeah. Almost
exactly like a Nessie sighting.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a long neck, a big wake, and then another hump behind it coming out of the water. So they don't know what this could be if it was not a Mokele. They have no idea what the creature could be. Now, Lauren Coleman says that the explanation that matches the best visually is two men in a canoe. However, the speed of the object is too fast for that, and only a powered boat could match that speed.
Hmm.
So,
two men in a canoe.
Yeah, I don't I don't see how that would cause the large neck sticking up, unless maybe one of them was standing up in the canoe and the other was sitting down. But
I don't know. Doesn't it seem like even from aerial footage that whoever wasn't filming would have been able to go, it's just two people in a canoe?
Yeah, you would think.
I mean,
and when he zoomed in, you would think he would be able to see like oars or something moving.
Yeah.
That would give it away.
I don't know for sure. I've never been, I don't know how high they were, but it just seems like looking down, I'm not saying that they would be able to 100% identify what they saw, but it seems like that two men in a canoe, you would have been able to figure that out.
Right. Right.
You know, it wouldn't have, there wouldn't be this big mystery if that was the answer.
Yep. I agree with you. Now, there is a known hoax of the Mokele Omembe. There was a video that aired on the TV show That's Incredible that ran from 1980 to 1984.
I used to love that show.
Yeah. So you may have actually seen this, this footage. But Roy Mackle investigated that footage. Now, he concluded that the video was hoaxed by making a balsa wood model of the creature and strapping it to the back of a very strong swimmer. But in that sense, okay, that video may be hoaxed, but what very strong swimmer is going to be out there hoaxing it with everybody that has seen it? You know?
I don't know.
And how could they hoax the hippo-sized head?
I don't think that was a hoax. This video might very well be.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like there seems like there would be a better way to pull that off other than putting a person underneath and swimming.
Mm-hmm.
How strong You'd of a think. Swimmer do you need to mimic the motion of a large, you know, semi-aquatic, you know, essentially reptile?
Yeah.
I mean, this dude's got to be not only pretty powerful, swimming in the Congo,
mm-hmm.
he's got to be pretty brave.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, swimming in that river.
Hold his breath for a really long time.
Yep. Yep. But, I mean, even if that one video is faked, like Mackle says, that, to me, can't explain all the sightings over all the years is people hoaxing it like that.
And, you know, Mackle is just, he probably wants that to be true, or he probably wanted that to be true as much as what we would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at least he's looking at it with, you know, a critical eye.
Sure.
Yep. To say, I'm just not seeing enough here for me to say, yep, that's somebody actually got this on video.
Right, right. Now, this next little bit comes from ThoughtCo, and they go into what they think is the most likely explanation. So we'll look at that. It says the most likely explanation for Mokele Omembe is that it's simply a myth. In fact, some African tribes refer to this creature as a ghost rather than a living animal. Now, thousands of years ago, this region of Africa may well have been inhabited by elephants or rhinoceros, and folk memories of these beasts stretching back for dozens of generations may well account for the Mokele Omembe legend. Now, I'll give you that for mm-hmm. some of these things. There, I'm sure, is the folk memories. It's that way with a lot of things. There are folk memories of,
mm-hmm.
you know, your ancestors see something and they tell you, and then it just gets passed on to mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, this creature still lives out there. But I don't think folk memories accounts for all of the sightings and any of the deaths attributed to the Mokele. I don't think a folk memory would do that. That's just me. I don't know.
No. Imagine it handles a lot of them, but I don't think it's not everything.
Right. All right, Matt. So let's take a second and talk about one of our sponsors and my favorite, hands down favorite set of earbuds that I have ever owned. We need to talk about Raycon. I like to wear these things when I go out in public. I like to wear them when I go to the gym. And whatever you challenge yourself to do this year, there's no better way to do it than with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. And I completely agree, because if I'm not having to talk to somebody, I've got my Raycons in. And even when I have to talk to people, sometimes I have my Raycons in so I don't have to hear everything they're saying. But that's just a personal thing. Now, Raycon wireless earbuds are the best way to bring audio with you, because no matter how much you shake things up, literally, no matter how much you shake, you know they won't fall out of your ears. And their everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. And I completely agree. Like I said, I wear them to the gym. I wear them when I'm working around the house. And lately I've been outside trying to prep the garden for gardening season, since it is spring. And I'm out there, I've got my earbuds in, and I'm sweating, I'm turning the soil and bending over and moving around, and they never fall out. They're comfortable. They sit right in your ear, and you know, you pick the little silicone tip that fits your ear best, and guess what? You don't even realize they're in after a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that silicone tip, my son borrowed mine. Okay. And he has another brand, but he wanted to try mine. And he was like, well, they just don't fit. They just don't fit. I said, I got you. You know, the smaller tip, they fit just perfect.
Yep.
And he loved the fact that they don't fall out.
Yeah.
Amanda borrowed them. And I've been trying to convince her to get a pair. She's got a different brand, too. And they no longer work. And I'm like, Raycon. Trust me. So she borrowed them for a few days. And she said the same thing. They won't come out. And I said, that's right. And one of my favorite things to do is listen to music while I'm mowing the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The awareness mode is fantastic. You can, if you need to hear what's going on around you, you can. But without that on, okay, unlike other brands where the mower noise is going to drown out what you're listening to, you don't have to worry about that with Raycons, because you've got those silicone tips holding them in your ears.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but they're also helping to block out the excess sound, and you can still hear your music while sitting on a mower.
I know, so, it's great.
And yeah, it's fantastic.
Like you and I were talking, Matt, we found this out the other day with Raycons. Now, I have a pair, Ashley has a pair, and Michael has a pair. We found out the other day, sitting in the truck before we went into the gym, we can all pop our Raycons out and put them in the same vicinity, and they won't try to connect to any other phone. They immediately go to your phone. It's a seamless pairing. You know, sometimes you get other brands and they'll try to connect to any other phone or any Bluetooth, anything around right there. These don't. Once you get them set to your phone, doesn't matter what's going on around you, you pull it out of the case, it immediately connects to your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you like a little extra bass, you want to catch the higher tones in the music or the audiobook or the podcast you're listening to, you have three different listening modes where you can adjust the audio to make it even more enjoyable.
Right.
So, I mean, hands down, these are the best wireless earbuds I've ever used. And Graveyard Tales listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/tales.
That's right. Go to buyraycon, buyraycon.com/tales, T-A-L-E-S, to save 15% off your Raycon order. buyraycon.com/tales. This also says that the most reasonable and agreed upon explanation is that the Mokele Omembe is a legend based on the black rhinoceros, a species once common to Central Africa, where the stories of the Mokele Omembe originated. My problem with that is the tribes would know a rhinoceros.
Right.
The tribes would even know a black rhinoceros, which maybe doesn't live in the area anymore, but it still resembles the rhinoceros that we have now. They wouldn't imagine a giant, large neck and head on this thing. It doesn't account for any tracks seen.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I agree with that.
Yeah.
But it's one of the explanations that they gave. Now, to conclude this, Matt, before I ask you your thoughts here. There are other dinosaur-like creatures that have been said to roam the African wilderness, and we've talked about a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
But if you leave out the flying ones that we've talked about, the reports of the terrestrial creatures vary widely.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the case with the Mokelea Membe. All reports of this creature are so similar that it lends a little bit of credibility to there being something out there that people are seeing. Cryptozoologist Carl Schuker said, quote, "If dinosaurs could exist unknown to science anywhere in the world, the Liquala is where they would be," end quote. Right. So Matt, what do you think? What are your thoughts on the Mokelea Membe?
I agree with Carl Schuker.
Mm-hmm.
And I have since I first read that particular quote, you know, a while back. But just based on the geography and what I mentioned at the top of the show, how difficult it is to thoroughly and adequately research and explore that area if something like this was going to survive. Or if there was going to be a species of animal that met the description of the Mokelea Membe, it would be right here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if not on some remote island that, you know, was almost impossible to get to, this would be the place.
Yep.
You know, if you look at photographs of the Congo River, there's nothing but trees to the point of you can't even see anything but tops of trees. It looks like you're looking at the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's so mm-hmm. covered. So imagine if it's that thick, how are you going to get in there and search?
Right.
Plus it's massive. I mean, you could search for years and not cover all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even if you stick to the river, it's still going to be extraordinarily difficult. And you still have such a large number of sightings. I tend to think that this is not a dinosaur that managed to survive. This is a descendant creature.
Yep.
That's related. And, you know, it's just very, very good at being undetected. There's nothing there that is going to compete with a creature that large. It doesn't appear to be a predator, so we're not seeing, you know, the absence of other animals.
Yeah. You know, no kills to be able to find.
It'll attack, but it's only going to attack something that would be a threat to its territory. It's not going to hunt and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
We've already said there's no hippos in this area.
Right.
Okay. I would imagine that any elephants in this area are able to steer clear of this thing.
Yep.
You know, the rest of the mammal population is made up of many species of gorilla and monkey and, you know, other primates. They're not going to mess with it. You know, they're smart. They go up.
Right.
we're not fooling with this thing. So it pretty much just has, you know, run of the land.
Yep.
So why not? I mean, it's of course fun to think about. But I don't really see that there's been enough adequate research and exploration to say it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, they definitely haven't done enough to rule it out totally.
Yeah. And it's much harder to prove something's non-existence rather than prove its existence.
That's right.
So I'm kind of with you. I think I don't know that you've got an actual Apatosaurus running around Africa. But like you, I think it's something that evolved from the dinosaur DNA and still retains some of the size and features of these dinosaurs, but has been able to evolve to live in today's climate. So not quite as big as the Brontosaurus, the Apatosaurus would be, like
right,
miniature version of that. But yeah, it's in an area that even though there are people around there, there's not huge populations that would run it out of its territory where it could be seen, or that have set foot on every square inch of the Congo River. There's some parts of the Congo River you just can't make it to. No matter how hard you try, you're probably not going to make it there. And that's where these things could live. And yeah, Shuker was 100% correct in his quote that if it was going to live anywhere, this is where it would live.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think there's a high possibility, if not a probability, that something like that does exist there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know, I think the pterosaur type creatures could also live in Africa because there's ample room to hide and place for it to fly and live without being found. It's the same for this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like you've got a dinosaur walking through Florida, the swamps in Florida. That's You'd right. see it there.
That's right. It's the South Beachosaurus.
Yeah, exactly.
They're typically pink, you know,
mm-hmm.
wear really large sunglasses.
Yep. Then tops are sunburned constantly.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's another African cryptid that is most likely in existence, at least. You know, maybe an offshoot of another species, but there's a really good chance that there's something there that just hasn't been, you know, discovered and identified.
I think this is one of the creatures that if we were able to give it proper research time, proper study, just like Sasquatch, I believe you would find something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not what we think it is. Maybe not what we think we're seeing or what the tales have said. But there's going to be something that we did not know of that accounts for these sightings. And I think it's a hidden creature. I mean, it's the definition of cryptozoology.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know. What do you guys think? After hearing all this, after maybe doing your own research or hearing about it from some other source, what do y'all think about the possibility of the existence of the Mokele Omembe? That, what do you think it is? Do you think it is a dinosaur like an Apatosaurus that is living in Africa? Do you think it's an unknown creature that is getting lumped into the dinosaur type thing? Or do you think it's all folk memories and it doesn't really exist? I'm very curious. So let us know in the Facebook group or something like that. Hit us up. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. And while you're doing that, you can slide over to our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. And on our site. You can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. You can listen to the show and you can become a patron. And we mentioned that earlier. Thank you everyone who has donated to the show. You have no idea how much it helps. Don't forget to please rate and review us on iTunes. That's the quickest way that Graveyard Tales can come up in the ranks and makes it easier to find.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I can hear the rain coming.
We beat it, though.
We beat it. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.